This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South, joining us here on Three Man Front. He's got a story there about how much SEC teams have spent buying out coaches in the Saban era. Connor, welcome into Three Man Front. But first, before we get to that, what you saw yesterday, and we've been discussing it for a lot of the show, they're from Knoxville, the press conference that was Philip Fulmer, some of the responses we got from the chancellor. It seemed like a Philip Fulmer love fest. Just want to get your take or reaction when you were watching that yesterday.
Bizarre. And that's not just because Philip Fulmer is up there addressing recruiting violations, level one violations, and talking about our recruiting is going really well. Great to hear that, because I'm sure that's what everybody was wondering about with Tennessee. It's strange because I think we all saw this coming a little bit to a certain extent when we heard the report that came out the day of the regular season finale in which Tennessee was conducting its own internal investigation. And this thing all just kind of seemed like Tennessee was going to do what it could to try and find something to fire Jeremy Pruitt with cause to not have to pay that buyout. Now, of course, it's gotten messier. And when you get up there and say some of those things, you know, at a press conference and you're talking about things like recruiting, when we're all that's the only reason we're talking about you, it's bizarre. But, you know, I still think that Tennessee is going to have a mess on its hands for the foreseeable future. And when you see the leadership conduct itself in that way and you kind of see how at odds they are against one another, Jeremy Pruitt now having this lawsuit against Tennessee, this thing is not going away anytime soon. And I feel bad for Tennessee fans because this is just absolutely brutal. Watch your program try and maneuver around and being a punching bag for, you know, for the foreseeable future, I think.
So, Connor, what do you believe is realistic as far as the level of coach that will next serve as the on-field head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers?
Depends how you think Kevin Steele is in terms of the level of head coach, because I think this is trending in that direction where he's going to be the interim head coach and he's going to be the head coach at Tennessee until further notice. And it's not necessarily the same exact timing as this, but there are shades of Ole Miss in Hugh Freeze fallout with that, where they just decided let's just bring in Matt Luke as the interim coach. We'll kind of do the easy thing. And while our program is facing bowl bans and scholarship limitations and all these things, we can just have Kevin Steele as the head coach. That's what I think Tennessee is ultimately going to do with this, because it's difficult to sit here and pitch this job when you're talking about an administration that just wiggled its way out of paying a buyout, and you have these potential punishments that are coming, and there's a cloud hanging over the program. I don't know how you can sell that job. I think it's really difficult. I don't think it's a typical coaching search, but I think when it does become somewhat typical and they do ultimately decide after they have an athletic director in place and they can make this move, I think you have to be realistic here. This belief that Tennessee is getting back to the levels that they were in the 90s, I think we should need to throw that out the window. You don't have five head coaches in a 12-year span without having some issues. And I think that Tennessee needs to be realistic. And I think you need to be willing to understand that just getting to 8-9 wins and sustaining some level of success would be pretty good right now. And you can't exactly shoot for the stars when you haven't even come close to reaching that in recent memory. So I just think that it's a search that's going to have a lot of moving pieces, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be a real search that they're going to conduct within the next month or so here.
Connor, in a normal year, Auburn paying $21 million to get rid of Gus Malzahn, or Jeremy Pruitt $12.6 million if he gets it from Tennessee, that wouldn't be that big of a news story, especially in the Southeastern Conference. But because it's a pandemic, we talked on this show for months that we just didn't see outside of Derek Mason that there would probably be any kind of turnover in the SEC, and here we are today. Are you as surprised as we are about all the changes we've seen?
Absolutely. I thought 100% it would be a struggle for these programs to be able to pony up and pay these buyouts. I didn't think South Carolina would do it. I didn't think Auburn would do it. And at the start of the year, of course, nobody was really talking about Jeremy Pruitt on the hot seat because he had agreed to that extension, or they released the news of the extension 2 days before the start of the season. Yeah, I'm absolutely surprised. I mean, we can make the jokes all the time about it just means more in the SEC, but you know, this was, if there was ever a year for this buyout bubble to burst, this was going to be it. And that didn't happen at all. I mean, we're talking about a college football world in which there are 33 FBS head coaches who had buyouts in eight figures this past season. That's a stunning thing to think about. And three of them in the SEC were fired. Now, only two of these buyouts are apparently going to be paid, depending on what happens with Jeremy Pruitt. But, man, I mean, we just saw the two biggest buyouts ever in SEC football history agreed upon during a pandemic. And I think that's just a very startling thought when this thing, if it was going to slow down, it would have happened in 2020. And that didn't. And that makes me worried. Who knows what it's going to look like in 3-4 years? Are we going to be talking about a head coach getting a $30 million buyout? Because we're heading in that direction unless there is a drastic change in mindset with these athletic directors right now.
Connor Regier, Saturday Down South, joining us here on the Michelob Organic Seltzer Hotline. So I'm reading your story, and I see that you've ranked the total number as far as rankings, the SEC, Vanderbilt not a part of that ranking. Obviously, you're basing it on other teams since Nick Saban has been the head coach at Alabama. What, when you look at the rankings that you compiled, what was the school that jumped out to you the most as far as buyout money or lack thereof that have been paid out since that time?
Well, I mean, I think Auburn's the headline there because when you're, what, $34 million in buyouts that you've spent, it's easy to look at that and say, wow, Auburn's ridiculous for doing this. But the pushback on that, of course, is, well, it's actually worked out in their favor with the early success that Gene Chizik had in winning a national championship in 2010. And then, of course, Gus Malzahn getting to a national championship in 2013. So it's sort of been justified. But at a place like Arkansas, that to me is the head scratcher, where they have been on the hook for just so much money. And I think they're second in the SEC in terms of buyouts paid. And some of that is pending what happens with Brett Bielema and this Illinois stuff. But this has not necessarily been a program that has been able to see a lot of success when they've made these moves. And they've still been on the hook for a large, large amount of money. And you would tend to think that if you're going to have that much success, or that, you know, that much on the hook for buyouts, you'd at least be in an Auburn situation where, you know, time and time again, you've seen the results pay off. And instead, Arkansas has just gotten into lawsuits and been an embarrassing team in the SEC at critical junctures while it's been paying these buyouts. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the one that definitely jumped out to me. And, you know, you look at some of these other programs and, you know, a place like Mizzou that has done really, really well with not having to pay these big numbers and has had a lot more success than some of the other programs that have paid much more money. And they've been able to have some of that success in the SEC. So I think it's just different, and it just kind of makes you realize that there are certain teams that are just willing to spend so, so much money to make coaches go away.
All right, so Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South with us now. You can find this article up there, SaturdayDownSouth.com. In the Saban tenure at Alabama, if Bielema finds a way to get the rest of his cash, and Jeremy wins his lawsuit and gets all of his, we will be $10 million away from $200 million having been doled out in buyouts of other SEC coaches from SEC schools. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. Unless there is a major shift in mindset, this probably won't change. Going through this pandemic, going through what we've seen a lot of athletic departments go through, do you realistically believe that much of this part of collegiate athletics is going to change over the next decade?
No, I think it's just going to continue to get worse. I think as these TV contracts continue to rise and the premium that is put on having an elite college football coach, I think this is going to continue to rise. I really do. I just don't think it's going to slow down. And I think that we're going to see more and more programs that are on the hook for multiple buyouts. You know, Nebraska was one of these programs that dealt with that, having buyouts that it was paying both Bo Pelini and Mike Riley at the same time. You know, I know Florida was a program that was just getting out of the Will Muschamp buyout. It was, what, $6.3 million, and then they had to pay the settlement that they had with Jim McElwain, that $7.5 million. And that sort of isn't even a massive headline. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we're paying Kevin Sumlin over $10 million to leave Texas A&M was huge national headlines. Now that's the norm. And if that's the norm, that terrifies me for what 10 years down the road looks like, because eventually you would think this bubble has to burst. And somewhere along the line, whether it's a lawsuit here or there, something is going to make these athletic directors say, you know what, maybe I set the terms a little bit different. We go with something like what we saw at Arkansas, where he's got a more incentive-based buyout that Hunter Yurecek was able to put together. And I think that we will hopefully get to that point. But, man, I'm not really predicting a finish line for this, because this was the year it was supposed to stop, and it absolutely did not.
In regards to 2021, after next football season, what schools do you think will be that kind of turnover we would have in the SEC as a typical year? Or do you think it will, you know, one or two other schools might be kind of on the hot seat, so to speak, in regards to a potential buying out their coach to get rid of him?
You know, I don't think that there are going to be a lot of SEC coaches that are on the hot seat next year. And I say that just because we just saw four coaching changes in the SEC. Usually you're not having, you know, four in consecutive years or something like that, and half the conference is turning over. So I would tend to think that's not very likely, especially, I mean, we had so many new coaches this past season, four new coaches this past season, four again. So this was kind of a bit of, you know, a rarity to have that. So I would tend to think that's not going to happen. The LSU situation is the head scratcher. Because if Coach O is all of a sudden, you know, looking like the guy who keeps making the wrong personnel hires, and that's an LSU program that doesn't live up to the preseason buzz it's going to have as a possible top 15 team, which is pretty amazing after the year that LSU just had, then that's one that I would look at and wonder about with Scott Woodward, knowing that he's not the one who gave Coach O that initial contract, and it wasn't his guy from the jump. We obviously saw what he did with Jimbo Fisher and giving him a $75 million guaranteed check to Texas A&M. So that'd be the one that I would keep in mind. But as of right now, it's kind of hard to see any path to that really happening. But then again, nobody was saying that about Jeremy Pruitt coming into this past season. And, you know, I think the buyout numbers with the pandemic, we're all kind of looking past that with Auburn, at least to a certain extent. So I think it should be a relatively quiet year on that front, but, you know, who knows?
All right, Connor, last question. I give you 5 years to win a national championship at one of these 1990 college football national championship winning schools. If you don't, we lower you into a den of hippos via helicopter, and you have to try and survive for a month. Are you taking Colorado, Georgia Tech, Washington, Florida State, Nebraska, Michigan, or Tennessee? I'll give you 10 years to go win a national championship, or else you go live with the hippos.
Goodness gracious.
By the way, the only national champions from the 90s that we're leaving out there are Alabama, Miami, Florida, and Oklahoma. We removed those. Too easy. But
wow.
That gives you an idea where things have gone.
I'll go in a little bit of a different direction here. I think Washington would be the team that I'd go with, just because I think their path to the playoff is still very favorable in the Pac-12. They've gotten some really good talent in there. I mean, they've had top 10 recruiting classes. I like Jimmy Lake. I mean, I think that that's a place where you can win big, and you do have a very big market to be able to sell. And that's a place that, you know, is very coveted on the West Coast, and you're not necessarily competing with the same powers that you are in the SEC. I don't think it's going to happen for Tennessee. I don't think it's going to happen for Nebraska. I spent 2.5 years out in Nebraska, and I watched that team very, very closely and was at all those home games during the Bo Pelini era, and I absolutely don't think it's going to happen there. But, you know, I'd say you have to have a path that's somewhat favorable to at least get to the playoff, maybe just have one of those miracle-type years. The system doesn't exactly lend itself to that, but no, I'm not holding my breath on Tennessee, Nebraska, Florida State, Michigan. I think they have too many things working against them. Notre Dame is another one. I wouldn't necessarily bank on that. Give me Washington, which pretty much just has to compete with Oregon and USC for those five-star recruits on the West Coast.
All right, there you go. Connor, great stuff. Appreciate the time. The work is up at SaturdayDownSouth.com. Look forward to having you back again soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
Follow Connor on Twitter at CJ O'Gara. And obviously, he joined us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Zero sugar, zero carbs, 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.